Can I welcome each one of you to this broadcast from Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church? We are sad that we are unable to meet with you in person, but we are thankful for the means whereby we can still proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through the internet. We do trust today that the Lord will meet with you and that he will bless the preaching of his word as it goes forth this morning. If you have a Bible with you, could we perhaps turn to the book of 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy in the chapter 3, and we will read from verse number 1 down to the conclusion of the chapter. So that's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to verse number 17. 2 Timothy 3, commencing at the first 1, God's word says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." Amen, and we'll end our reading at the end of the chapter 3. We do trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his word this morning. We'll just bow and commit this online service to the Lord in prayer now before we come to the preaching of his precious word. Our eternal God and our most gracious Father in heaven, we do thank thee again for the return of thy day. We thank thee, O God, that even whilst we are unable to meet together because of this pandemic, we thank thee that even through the means of the internet, that thy word can still go forth. We do thank thee for the congregation in Londonderry. We thank thee, O God, for the souls that have been won through that work. And O God, we do pray that thou wouldst continue to bless it. We pray that as they continue to seek for a pastor, that thou wouldst help them. We pray that thou wouldst guide them, and that thou wouldst direct the paths of the oversight and of the congregation in the future. We do thank thee, O God, that thou art a God of love. We thank thee that thou art the God of salvation. And Father, we thank thee this morning that we can proclaim the great truth that Christ died for sinners. We thank thee for sending thy Son to this earth to die upon the cross at Calvary. Oh, what a sacrifice it was. whenever that atonement for sin was made. Father, we acknowledge that there is nothing good within us, but yet, out of love, our sin debt was paid. No, we can sing with the hymn writer, Hallelujah, what a Saviour. Father, as thy word goes forth this morning, we do pray for thy help. We pray that thou wouldst fill me with thy spirit. We pray that the people who listen would have the word applied to their hearts by the Spirit. We pray, O God, that it would be a word in season, that even at this difficult time when we cannot meet together as our normal fashion is, that we would know thy presence. O God, we do pray for protection from this virus. We do remember our health service. We remember those who work within it. We remember other key workers in various aspects of life. We do pray that thy hand would be upon them. We pray that thou wouldst bless them. We remember as well those in our government. There are difficult and hard decisions that have to be made, but we are commanded in Scripture to pray for those who have the rule over us. We are to pray for the civil magistrate, for the civil government, and we do pray that thou wouldst guide them. We pray, O God, that they would submit themselves to thee. And Father, we do pray that thou wouldst work thy salvation even in their hearts, even use this pandemic to show them the weakness of man, to show them that who can stand against the Lord? Show them that they are sinners, that really they are nothing before thee. But show them as well that thou art a God who is mighty to save. We rejoice that thou art a God who is in the soul-saving business. We thank thee, O God, for the reports we have had over the last number of weeks of souls coming to know thee. And we do pray that as we proceed through 2021, that we would experience even the blessings of souls being won. We pray that thou wouldst bless all that takes place now. Undertake for those in the Londonderry congregation. Thou knowest the needs of each member of that church. We pray that thou wouldst be with those perhaps who have to shield. That perhaps there are some who are laid aside with sickness. Or perhaps there's those and there's something else that is bothering them. Or something else that is affecting them. We pray that thou wouldst be a comfort unto them, and that thou wouldst meet every need. And O God, remember as well our presbytery. Remember those who have the responsibility for overseeing the work of the church. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst guide them, that thou wouldst bless them, and that thou wouldst help them to make the right decisions in accordance with thy holy word. But as we come now to the preaching of thy word, bless us now, undertake, we pray, in thy name, and for thy glory, we pray all these things. Amen. And amen. Again, can I thank your interim moderator, the Reverend Curran, and also the church for the invitation to come and to bring the word of God to you this morning. As we said, we are disappointed that we cannot be with you in person, but we are thankful that we can still come and we can bring the word of God to you in this fashion over the internet. And this morning, it's my intention to take the verses 14 to 16 of this passage that we read together as my text. They read, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And here, these verses, I usually, whenever I give my testimony, these verses would be the ones that I would read. But to give some of the context, the Apostle Paul here is writing to his good friend and his faithful fellow labourer, Timothy. He has already written one epistle to him, that is the book of 1 Timothy. And in that book he deals with the proper function of the church in the city of Ephesus. But in this second epistle, which we are considering this morning, he is mainly dealing with the function of the minister in the church. We see the minister referred to by many different terms throughout the chapters of this book. Chapter 2, he is called a soldier. He's called a striver, a husbandman, a student, a servant, and a teacher. And then in chapter 4, he is referred to as a preacher, a sufferer, and a soul winner. In this epistle, it was sent to Timothy whilst Paul was a prisoner under the wicked Roman Emperor Nero. If any of us have read or studied anything about church history, we will know that Nero, he was no friend of the church, and that he was an evil, wicked emperor who executed family members simply for political gain. He is also believed to be responsible for the burning of Rome, and that when the people suspected that he was the one who had instigated that, he blamed the Christians, and he helped to turn public opinion against them, further helping the persecution against them. If we look at 2 Timothy on the chapter 4 and verses 6 to 7, we read, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Paul is prepared for his departure from this world. He's ready for his promotion to glory. He was facing the rage, the malice, the hatred, the persecution, the anger from the enemies of the gospel. He was near his time of execution, but yet he had these words which we have read to give to Timothy. He had these words of encouragement for him. And we could preach many sermons on these verses that we have read together, especially these three verses which I wish to take as my text. There's many different ways we could consider them. But this morning it's my intention really to just take three thoughts that we see from each of these verses. One thought from each verse, and to leave them with you to consider. And the first thought I'd like us to consider is that we see that there was a great privilege. We see there was a great privilege. Verse 15 tells us, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy had a great privilege. He had been brought up in the ways of the Lord. The Greek word here for the word child is the word brephos, and that simply means an infant or a babe. So really, he had been brought up in the scriptures from he was a baby, really from the moment that he was born. He had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home, and I can say in my own life, it was a great privilege which I had, and I'm sure that many of you in Londonderry perhaps also had that same privilege. But sadly, in this day and age, there are many who do not have the same great privilege. They are not brought up in a Christian home. They are not brought up hearing the gospel message. There are many who I can think of who have heard the gospel message for the first time in their old age. And there's one example that comes to mind of, there's a man called Jim in the Scottish city of Dundee. I was there with my father, and we were on an outreach team maybe 10, 12 years ago. And this man, he was in his 90s, and he had fought in the Second World War. He was a Second World War veteran. And he happened to be outside one of the shops in Dundee where we were having an open air on his car, Motability scooter. And he'd never heard the gospel before. That open air, whenever he was in his 90s, was the first time in his life he had ever heard the gospel message. I was thankful to hear that a number of months later that the man, he had begun during the outreach attending the church, and a couple of months later he received the Lord as a saviour, and he did pass away a number of years later, but we do look forward to the day when we can meet that man again in glory. But that's just an example of that man did not have this great privilege that Timothy had. Rather, he didn't hear the gospel until very, very late in life. And we can be sure that that man, he probably would have loved to have heard the gospel when he was young. He would probably love, if he was alive on earth today, he would probably say that he wished he'd been saved young so that he could serve the Lord throughout his whole life. Many people have said that children cannot understand the sermon, that there's no point in telling them the gospel, there's no point in bringing them and getting them to sit in church until they're much older. But here is Timothy. He has been instructed in the ways of the Lord from he was a little child. From just a little boy, a baby, he was taught the word of God. This should certainly be a model for us. We should desire to instruct our children, to instruct our young people in the ways of the Lord from a young age. It was the great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon who said, "Begin early to teach, for children begin early to sin." The philosopher Aristotle, he once said, "Give me a child for the first 7 years and I'll give you the man." The Jesuits of the Roman Catholic Church, they hijacked this quote and they used it for themselves. They said, "If give us a child for the first 7 years and we will have the Catholic for the rest of his life." Those people in that church, they do not spur any effort in indoctrinating the young children with their false rites and rituals, their false doctrines. But whereas we have the glorious truth of the gospel message that sets men free from sin, we ought to want to teach it to our young people, to teach it to our children, to desire them to learn those great truths and those great doctrines contained within the Holy Scriptures. We really ought to be indoctrinating our young people. Many today will say, "Oh, we shouldn't indoctrinate them." But really, indoctrination simply means to teach. We should want to indoctrinate our young people. We should want to have them founded and fully convinced of what Scripture teaches, founded upon those great doctrines. We ought to build them up on the milk, and then as they grow stronger, we can give them the strong meat and let them get deeper into the Word. We also can ask the question, who taught Timothy these things? Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 5, where it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." It was Timothy's mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois who taught him the Scriptures. That was where he learnt the Word of God. This morning I exhort the parents, do not neglect the teaching your children the things of God. Sometimes it can be all too easy to let the Sunday school or the children's meeting or the boys' brigade or wherever else there is that you can send your children to, let them teach them the Word of God. It's also easy to let somebody else do it. But really, it's your responsibility. Too many people expect the church to teach the children everything, and then if the children do not walk in the ways of the Lord, it's the church's fault. Rather, we must teach them at home. What the church provides, whether it's through the Sunday school, the children's meeting, youth fellowship, or any other work, it's an extra. It's a great thing to have. It's a great advantage. Again, it's another privilege. But yet, the instruction of our children, it must start in the home. But for those who perhaps you're involved in the children's work, maybe you're involved in the youth fellowship, in the Sunday school, keep teaching them. I recognise that, of course, in the present circumstances, things are a little bit difficult. Perhaps Sunday schools in some churches are not able to take place, others are online. Others were taking place for a while but have had to stop, and we recognise in the circumstances that it's hard to keep that steady teaching going on. But yet, we should keep teaching our young people, even whenever they don't seem to have an interest. We should not just forget about them. We should continue to pray for them, and we should continue to try and teach them that basic knowledge of the Word of God. That young boy who's sitting at the back of the class or the back of the children's meeting with his feet up on the chair, looking disinterested, he could become the next great preacher. And we should desire to continue to teach them, to seek to instruct them in the ways of righteousness. We must encourage them. We must be faithful, because one thing that is true is that children, when they grow older, they will never forget how they were treated. They will never forget. And we want to set a good impression with them. We want them to recognise that we cared for them, that it wasn't just that we felt that we had to teach them, but rather we were teaching them because we cared for their soul, because we do care for their soul. We long to see their souls saved and see them won for the Lord. Proverbs, the chapter 22 and the verse 6 tells us, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." But Timothy also had another great privilege, besides being taught the scriptures, being taught by his parents, and being taught now by the Apostle Paul. He had that great opportunity to accompany Paul on some of his missionary journeys. Next, book of Acts in the chapter 16 and the verse 1. We read that whenever Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, that behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed. Then in verse 3, it says, "Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." Timothy was able to go with Paul on some of his missionary journeys. He was able to accompany him, to be with him, and to learn from him. What a privilege it was. Paul was his teacher. Paul was his mentor. Paul was his role model. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and the verse 1 says, it's Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul was Timothy's role model. Timothy sought to model himself on Paul. Paul was a faithful man of God, and we should even look to Paul. As he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul was not perfect. But yet, inasmuch as he followed the Lord, he was exhorting the people to imitate, to follow him. Pardon me. Paul taught many things about the Lord. And do we seek to surround ourselves? Do we seek to be around those who are faithful to the Lord, who follow the Lord? Do we seek to learn of those who are mature in the faith, who have a personal relationship with the Lord, who are spiritual men and women? Or do we rather spend our time in the company of unbelievers, the company of those who perhaps they profess to be saved, but they have no depth to their profession? Really, they just say that they're saved, but apart from the fact that they say they're saved, they live for the world. They live sinful lives, disobeying God's commands. Well, friends, you should desire to be around those who will help us to learn more about the Lord. Those who will help us to grow in faith. Paul also says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, that Timothy, that he was to teach others. It says in verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." It's another exhortation. We could apply that to Christian parents. We could apply it to our Sunday school teachers, our youth leaders, children's workers, even to those in the ministry. We are not to just take this privilege that we have and keep it for ourselves, but rather we are to share others. We are to give them the privilege of hearing the gospel, of knowing the great doctrines of grace, the great doctrines of Scripture. Secondly, this morning, I'd like us just to consider from this passage that there was a great exhortation. Verse 14 tells us, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." This great precept was given to Timothy. He was exhorted to continue in the things which he had learnt. He knew the scriptures, and he knew that Paul was instructing him to continue preaching and teaching, as well as living in accordance with biblical doctrine. Like young Timothy here, we must also continue in the things that we have learnt from scripture. Paul exhorted Timothy to stand for the gospel, to stand for biblical truth, no matter what persecution he would face. There would be men who would arise, they would appear, and they would try to water down or contradict the gospel. They would try to do away with these great doctrines. We can think of various heresies that occurred in the early church, and they have often repeated themselves. We can think of Arianism and Pelagianism. They've repeated themselves throughout the history of the church. That's just two examples. Do we not see many similarities with people today who seek to water down and to contradict the gospel and almost to take the view, if you live a good life, it's all that matters? They say that Christ, he was a man who was a very moral man. They deny that he was the Son of God. They deny that he was God in the flesh. Today, do we not see standards lowered in churches to try to entice people to come in? Do we not see doctrinal standards lowered, false doctrines being accepted all around us? But how true it is that once a church loosens the doctrinal standards, and once it allows the false teaching to come in, it will be corrupted. I'm not going to go into examples, but a study of church history will prove that. But we look to sub-points just on this great exhortation. We notice firstly there was the things. And what are these things? Now, these things, they were to do with spiritual matters. Timothy had learnt about Jesus Christ. He'd learnt about the gospel. He'd learnt about eschatology and various other doctrines and matters that the world would consider to be unimportant. He had been educated about false teachers and false doctrines and exhorted to oppose them, as we have said. But today, the world learns things in different fields, many things in various fields. But yet, compared to the things that Timothy had learnt, all these worldly things are unimportant. Timothy had learnt the important things. What matters most are the things of God. A degree in the most difficult or complex or complicated science is worth nothing in comparison to the knowledge of God and having a true, genuine faith in him. Timothy knew his doctrine. He knew the things of God, and we should desire to know them as well. And we should desire to be able to identify and oppose false doctrine as well. But we also note the word assured. So Timothy, he also knew. He didn't just know the things of doctrine. No, would you say, the facts. He knew that they were true. He was assured of them. He had certainty in his biblical knowledge. He was also assured of his salvation. He had no doubts. We must be sure of our salvation and our relationship with the Lord. I remember being at a youth weekend a number of years ago, and the one thing that shocked me as a young believer was the amount of people around my own age and slightly younger, slightly older, my generation really, who they had at some point in their life, they had questioned their salvation. They maybe hit 14, 15, 16, upwards of that age. They began to question their salvation. It was horrific. And it was something which really, it worried me, because there was so many young people questioning. It seemed to be a big problem. But we must say that it's not just a simple prayer that saves people. Many people had wondered, had they prayed the right prayer? Had they done the right thing? It's not the prayer that saves us. It's not learning all the great doctrines of Scripture that saves us. But what saves a soul is a genuine coming to Christ with a recognition of our position as a filthy sinner. We must have a hatred of our sin and we must turn away from it in repentance. And we must place our faith and our trust in Him. Whenever this happens, what has been learnt, these doctrines of Scripture, what we have read in the Word of God, has been applied by the Holy Spirit. And it will save our soul. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts. It applies the words that we read in Scripture for the salvation of our soul. Scriptures tell us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That verse is of great comfort to those who perhaps have lacked assurance in the past. Because whosoever, that means any man, shall call upon the name of the Lord. Any man who calls on Christ for salvation shall be saved. There's no if they say the right words, if they pray the right prayer, if they've learnt the right things. It's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's certainty, there's assurance. And Timothy here, he had that great assurance. He knew that he was right with God and that he was able to continue in the things that he had been faithfully taught by his mother and his grandmother. The devil will often try to put doubts in our mind. I can testify to it. I have experienced them in the past. He will put doubts in your mind as to whether or not you are saved. But the best place to go when you have questions is to go to the Lord. Pray that the Lord would give you that assurance. Read His Word, study it. And the Lord will show you what will give you, rather, that assurance. But thirdly, and very briefly, because our time is gone this morning, we note that in this passage there is also a great statement. We see that in verse 16 where it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." We note, firstly, that the Scriptures, they lead us to salvation. We are not saved by merely believing the Bible, but rather we are saved by trusting in Christ, who the Scriptures point us to. The Scriptures tell us of Christ right the way through, from Genesis 3:15, the first gospel promise, right the way through Scripture, we are told of Christ. The devil, he knows the Bible. He believes in God. But yet, obviously, he is not saved. The Bible, it reveals our need for salvation. It shows us that we need to have faith and trust in the Lord. It shows us the sinners that we are. It shows us how there is no good within us. Won't take the time to look up the verse, but if you look at Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 12, that proves that. We are condemned. We are under the curse of sin, but praise the Lord that the Scriptures, they point us to salvation. They lead us to salvation. They also provide our spiritual food and our fight against the devil. But a second thing we can note is that the Scriptures are true. Our text tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The world has an idea of inspiration. That, for example, we could say that a certain author, or to take an example from the field of politics, we could say that Sir Winston Churchill was an inspired leader to this nation during the Second World War. But this is not the inspiration that we are talking about in regards to the Bible. The biblical inspiration, it means the supernatural influence of the Holy Spirit on the human writers of the Bible, ensuring that what was written, that it was accurate and that it was true. The Scriptures that we preach, this Word of God, is not merely the words of men, but rather it is the Word of the living God. They are God-breathed. Again, another reference, which for the sake of time we won't look up, is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. God moved through men, through the prophets, to write the Scriptures. It was a miracle that was wrought about by God. Events that are prophesied in Scripture, they will come to pass because Scripture is true. One example is Micah 5 verse 2, where it is prophesied that the Messiah, the Christ, would be born in Bethlehem. And we know from the Gospels that that did come true, that the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. It shows us, and we think of how that even took place. We see God's mighty common grace, and how that the disciple, or rather the king, the Roman Emperor, Caesar Augustus, made that decree that all the world should be taxed, which then resulted in Joseph taking Mary and going to Bethlehem, where Christ was born. The prophecy came true, and God's word is true. But we also note that the scriptures are profitable. This verse, it tells us some of the things that scripture is profitable for. The Christian who studies his Bible and applies what he learns, he will avoid many pitfalls. He will grow in holiness. The scriptures are to be that controlling influence on our lives. They are to be our rule of faith and practice. When it comes to particular decisions, we should ask that question, what saith the scriptures? By studying the scripture, the believers, we will learn those great doctrines, those great truths of God, which bring great encouragement to our souls. The word doctrine, many people are scared of it, but it simply means teaching. I remember somebody saying to me a number of years ago before I started college, they said, Samuel, whenever you're in college, don't be getting into theology. Don't be getting into doctrine. Just preach salvation. But the problem is that if you don't get into theology, you can't really preach at all, because theology is the study of God. And really, we should all be theologians because we study the Word of God. If you can't preach doctrine, which is theology, which is the teaching of the Word of God, how can you preach salvation? Because salvation is a doctrine. It is a doctrine in the Bible. We can't preach redemption, which is the central theme throughout the whole of Scripture. It's a doctrine. We must study these things. Doctrine is vitally important in our preaching. It is vitally important in our lives. A few pages over in the book of Titus, on the chapter 2 and the verse 1. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. There's an exhortation to preach sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13, we have something similar where it says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Those sound words, they were not just mere words, but they actually were doctrines. Paul exhorted Timothy to hold fast sound doctrine. Then finally, and with this we will be finished, we note that the scriptures equip us. For this we just look at verse 17, where it says, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God will equip us. It will prepare us and enable us to do whatever task God has called us to do. The better we know the word, the better we know the Bible, the better we will be able to live and work and witness for the Lord. Certainly we must heed what Scripture teaches us. We must remain separated from sin. The Scriptures, they tell us how we ought to do the work of God. The book of Acts especially is a vital book for teaching us how to engage in church work and missionary work, as are the other epistles, and every book of the Bible is lessons that we can learn. As we close, we ask the question, do we do God's work his way? Do we do it in accordance with his word? Remember a man telling me once that he would do God's work his way. He would do it his own way. And today there are people, they think they are doing God's work. Whilst the Lord may bless them in spite of their disobedience, there will be consequences for it. We think of the example of Moses, how that whenever Moses was told to speak to the rock, but because he was angry with the children of Israel, he lifted up his staff and he struck the rock instead. The water came out. The children of Israel were blessed by having water. But yet Moses faced consequences for his disobedience to what God had said. God had told him to speak to the rock. As a result, he wasn't allowed to enter into the promised land. That's just an example from Scripture of how there will be consequences, even though there may be blessings, if we disobey God's word. It should be our desire to obey the Lord in all things. We should desire to do his work his way. This morning, as we close, I do trust that the Lord will bless this work, or bless this word to your hearts. We do trust that the Lord will apply it. And we do trust that the lessons that we have just considered very briefly this morning from his word, that they will do each one's soul good. And we do pray that the Lord would enlighten our minds, and that he would help us all to understand Scripture, to learn it. Give us that desire to get into the book and to learn what God is teaching us. We'll just close this service now with a brief word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, O God, for even this passage that we have read together this morning. We think of Timothy's great privilege. We think of many who have had that great privilege, but yet they have spurned it. They have been taught the Scriptures from they were children, but yet today they are living in the world. Oh, we pray that our young people would not make that mistake. We pray, O God, that they would desire to learn and to live their life in accordance with thy word. But Father, we think of those in our land, and there are many of them who have not had that privilege. They have never heard the gospel message. We pray that even during this period of lockdown, that thou wouldst help us to reach them with the gospel. We pray that thou wouldst work in their souls. We know that we cannot create an anxious thought in and of ourselves. We need thy Spirit to work. And Father, this morning we pray that thy Spirit would work. And Father, if there be one this morning who is listening to this message, perhaps they're unsaved, we pray that thou wouldst speak to them. Or perhaps maybe they're doubting their salvation. Oh, we pray that thou wouldst apply the word to their hearts. We pray, O God, that they would know that if they have called, or if they call upon thy name, that thou wilt save them. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a great verse that is. We thank thee, Father, for that verse in Scripture. We thank thee for the truth of it, and that if we do call upon thee, we know that thou wilt save us. Bless each one in the congregation in Londonderry. Undertake for them, we pray. And we pray, O God, that as thy word goes forth again this evening, that thou wouldst bless it to each and every heart. We pray these things for thy glory, and in thy name, amen and amen.